name Ann Dvorak invariably brings to mind the first and perhaps the greatest of the gangster pictures, Scarface. For her performance in that picture was so outstanding that she became a star overnight. And since then, she's appeared in many, many plays on Broadway and also in many, many very fine motion pictures. She's been our guest before, so it's a real pleasure to welcome back Miss Ann Dvorak.
Thank you, Les. It's been a pleasure working with you in the past, and I particularly like the story we have this time.
Well, I like it too, Ann. You know, it's sort of a two-installment deal with the other part playing next week.
Yes, I know. And with young Bobby Driscoll, the Academy Award winner, as next week's star. I'm going to have to look to my laurels.
Well, I'm sure your laurels will be perfectly all right, Ann. We're looking forward to your performance and to another talk with you after the curtain's gone down.
I'll be here, Les.
Thank you, Ann Dvorak. And now, here is our announcer. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Even now, I can't tell the story. It must remain a secret. But I can write it. Write it and conceal it in the lining of the theatrical trunk that holds my few earthly possessions. Perhaps someday, when the story can be made public, this, my last will and testament, will be found. For my heirs, executors, administrators, and assigns, the story of my death. The story began 3 years ago, in August 1882. The carnival had just reached Thompson City, New Mexico territory, and I was getting my stand ready for business.
Howdy. You Mary Clemens, a sharpshooter?
That's right. Want to challenge me to some shooting, mister?
Well, no. I'm Sheriff Banning, sheriff of Thompson City.
Well, glad to meet you, Sheriff Banning. Nothing wrong, I hope.
Your act is to take on comers and marksmanship and trick shooting, that right?
That's right. Just like it says on my sign there. I put up $5 against anybody else's five, and I can outshoot him.
Yeah. Then maybe you can help us.
Help you?
You've heard of Joe Gregory, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Well, I see you ain't too familiar with these parts. But Joe Gregory's a man we've been trying to get.
Ah, I see.
He's bad. All bad. And since we put away Billy the Kid, Joe Gregory's the best shot in New Mexico territory. That's why we ain't got him. Now, here's the way we figure. He'll come into town and he'll challenge you.
You mean he'll come right into Thompson City?
Well, why not? He can beat any man in the territory to the draw. Yep, he'll come into town, just like Billy the Kid used to do.
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Well, he'll challenge you in fancy shooting. You can bet on that. He's bound to. You see, he likes to play to the crowd. Now, here's where we get him.
Yeah?
He comes up to your booth and challenges you. And you and him do some pistol shooting, each of you using your own guns. But then you fix up a tough shot that has to be made with a rifle. Now, Joe Gregory will have his own sidearms, but he won't have a rifle. Not in town. So he'll have to use one of yours. But you'll see to it that the one he gets ain't loaded. That's when we close in on him. Now, you get it?
Yeah, sure. You get the drop on him before he finds out the rifle isn't loaded. But how'll I know him? Do you have a picture of him?
Well, no. Mr. Gregory's never been obliging enough to pose for his photograph. But he'll let you know who... But he'll let you know who he is. Joe Gregory ain't the shy type.
I see. But what happens to me if something goes wrong?
Oh, I'll have my boys posted around. So you won't have nothing to worry around. So you won't have nothing to worry around. So you won't have nothing to worry about. Are you game?
Well, I don't exactly like the idea, but I know it pays to be on the side of law and order out here. Well, all right, Sheriff. I'll be ready for Joe Gregory when he gets here. I'll bet a five-spot against a five-spot I can outshoot you. Plain marksmanship or fancy shooting. Shoot out candles, shoot the aces out of playing cards, print the silhouette of Governor Lew Wallace in bullet holes on that slab.
Hello, Mary. Still making a living at fancy shooting, are you, sweetie?
For a minute, I couldn't say anything. He stood there, the old grin on his face. It was Joe. Joe Clemens.
I saw your pitch advertised on the posters, Mary.
Oh, Joe.
It's been a long time, Mary.
5 years.
And 2 months and 7 days.
You kept track.
Oh, not exactly. I figured it out when I knew I was going to see you.
You haven't changed.
How's Tommy?
Oh, fine.
With your mother in Cleveland?
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't take him on the road. He's too young.
His turn will come. He'll grow up to be a trooper, just like his mom and pop.
But I was with him all winter, and he looks like you, Joe. Got your eyes. Joe, I...
Now, sweetie?
Well, I wrote to you, but the letter came back from Brooklyn, no forwarding address. I didn't know where you were. I didn't know you'd come west.
Quite a while ago.
What are you doing these days, Joe?
I keep busy, but it's not like the old days. Clemens and Clemens.
Clemens and Clemens. Oh, Joe, I haven't heard that since...
Clemens and Clemens. Trick shooting, fancy shooting, mirror shots, shots of skill and shots of peril, rifle or pistol.
Have appeared before the crowned heads of Europe. 16 weeks at the Union Square Theater in New York. 14 weeks at Woods Museum. Return engagement by demand. The Globe Theater, Boston.
Clemens and Clemens.
A pair of aces.
The king and queen of hearts.
Oh, Joe.
I guess we both remember, don't we, Mary?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Joe, I've had so much time to think. So much time.
And?
Well, that day in Boston, that awful day.
Yes, Mary?
I was such a kid. I know now that I had no right to be jealous. If I'd only given you a chance to explain. Joe, what I'm trying to say is...
I know, sweetie. You don't have to say it.
But, Joe, I
tell you what we'll do. Close up the booth and we'll go for a walk. How about it?
Yeah. All right, Joe.
Like old times. We always used to walk, remember? Along the Childs, the East River,
yeah.
The Thames when we were playing the London Hippodrome.
Yeah, Joe.
And we'll talk about Tommy. All that's happened. It won't hurt you to lose an hour's business.
No. No, it won't. All right, Joe. I'll close up. Joe.
Huh? What's the matter?
The people.
People? What do you mean?
Well, look. There must be 30 or 40 people out there. They're all watching us. That look. As though we were still celebrities.
It's nothing, Mary. Come on, let's go.
All right, Joe. Oh, Joe. Oh, Joe, I can't.
Oh, why not?
Well, I just remembered. I promised. Well, it's kind of a long story, but
well,
yesterday...
Well, you ain't going to challenge her, ain't you, Joe Gregory?
Gregory?
Their sign says her to be the best shooter in the West. You going to let that stand, Joe Gregory?
Well, Mary, it looks like we're in for a little shooting contest.
Joe, you're not Joe Gregory.
I'm afraid I am.
I'm getting tired of waiting, Joe.
All right, all right. I'll challenge her. I challenge you, Mary Clemens. You say you're the best shot in the West. We'll see about that. We'll see if you can outshoot Joe Gregory.
Yeah.
All right, Joe Gregory. You put up $5 and I put up $5 to match it. Winner takes the money. That sound fair to you?
Fair enough. Here's my $5.
All right, here's mine. You there, hold the stakes.
I'll do that gladly, ma'am.
And don't run off with them. You'll have the 2 best shots in the territory stitching holes in your back.
Well, I reckon I wouldn't care to have that happen, Joe Gregory.
Now, Mary Clemens, they say you can toss a playing card in the air and shoot 6 holes in it before it touches the ground.
Well, you'll see that for yourself.
Now, here you shoot a cigarette out of a man's mouth at 60 paces.
When I find a man that's got the nerve to let me do it.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Just as a starter, you shoot a cigarette out of my mouth, then I'll shoot a cigarette out of your mouth. How's that? What do you say, folks? Think you'll stop shaking long enough for me to get my aim?
Joe began to perform, just like in the old days. Only now, Joe Clemens was the outlaw, Joe Gregory. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Sheriff Banning watching him from behind the end of a tent, and 2 or 3 of his boys strung out along the side of the commissary wagon. We finished shooting cigarettes out of each other's mouths, and I tried to think of something as I set up the next trick.
I get it. The idea is to light the matches. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, you know, I think I saw it done on the stage once, the same trick.
Did you?
Kegel and Kegel. Oh, no, that wasn't it, but some man and woman. Some team. The man was the better shot, though. He was better looking, too. Oh, much better looking. It was the same thing. They stuck matches in the end of a board. The idea was to shoot and light the heads of all the matches. Like this. Wasn't that how they did it, Mary?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they did it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't leave any matches for you to shoot, Mary.
He was enjoying himself, but I was trying to think. I couldn't. Sheriff Banning's men were all around us now. And even if I found a way to tell Joe what was going on, told him to run, I knew he wouldn't. The only thing I could do was to stall. I thought of every pistol trick known. I set up a row of matches for myself and lit them. We shot the aces out of playing cards, facing backwards, using mirrors at 20 yards. And neither of us had missed a shot. The score was tied. Then Joe grinned at me and did his spinning gun trick that nobody else in the world can do. Spinning the gun on his trigger finger and firing the chamber without interrupting the spin. And he was ahead.
I'll give you a chance to get even, Mary. We'll set up a playing card and shoot for the edge.
But that's a rifle shot. Can't be done with a pistol.
Well, you've got rifles here.
Yes, but...
Well, use one of these cards. I may be psychic, but I think you'll find a groove that'll hold the card in front of that oak and iron bullet stuff down there at the other end of the booth.
Yes, Joe.
Is there a groove?
Yes, there is.
Well, what do you know?
I walked, slowly as I could, to the other end of the booth. I stopped, and I fixed the playing card into the groove at the base of the bullet stop. By the time I'd reached the front of the booth again, I knew what I would do. It was what I had to do, whatever happened. There were two rifles, one loaded and one unloaded. And when Joe picked up one of those two rifles, Sheriff Banning would come at him, ready to shoot. I gave Joe the loaded rifle.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Other Side of the Moon, starring Miss Anne Dvorak. And now, here is our announcer.
Back of the prop wagon.
I'm with you, Joe.
Come on, run, hurry.
Joe, look out. You're going to head us off.
Can we get to the side gate? Fire is there.
This way, over this way. If we go to the menagerie tent, we can make it.
All right, I'll follow you. Go ahead. Oh. I'm glad those things are caged up.
Hurry, Joe.
That's my horse there, the bay. Take the one next to it.
All right, Joe.
I'll help you mount.
I can make it.
There you go. Get off to me. Stop or we'll shoot.
Give her the heel, Mary. Come on. You all right, sweetie?
Yes, Joe.
Scare you?
Scare me?
Back there.
Oh, I guess it did. I don't know. It does now a little. I didn't have time to think before. It all happened so fast.
We were lucky.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Joe.
Huh?
You don't think that...
Don't think what?
Well, you don't think that Sheriff Bannon... Oh,
don't worry, sweetie. I just winged him.
Oh.
No, sweetie, I'm not through with Sheriff Bannon yet.
What do you mean, Joe?
Nothing. Professional secret. This trade has its secrets, too. Like Vaudeville or Chautauqua. Hey, here we are. We cut down this way. There's a trail on the other side of the arroyo.
Where are you taking me, Joe?
Home, Mrs. Joe Gregory. Home.
It was a place in the mountains. Adobe and pinyon pine. You could see the mesas down below. And the arroyos running in the desert like veins of shadow. In September, the sumac turned scarlet, and in October, the snow came on the highest peaks, and the Sangre de Cristo mountains were like silver fox, the white of the snow and the black of the pine, high above us. We saw no one. No one came, ever. It was just Joe and me.
You happy?
Yes.
Like it here?
Oh, yeah, Joe.
It's pretty.
Yes, it is.
Not much like the East.
Oh, no.
Boston.
I was a silly kid, Joe.
Yeah, I guess we both were.
Why did you go? Why did you leave me?
Pride, I suppose. Besides, you told me to. You ordered me out.
Oh, I couldn't have meant it.
I guess you didn't. I should have realized it. I was older than you, but... when you're in love...
Oh, I know. I know.
Anyhow, it's all right now.
Yes, Joe. Yeah, it's all right now.
And the famous divorce, Clemens versus Clemens.
Never went through, thank heavens. Just Joe and me. It was like living on the other side of the moon. To be Joe's wife was the one thing that mattered more than anything else in the world. But it didn't dawn on me until Joe started going away that the other side of the moon is the dark side. The first time he went away... Just a week after we made our escape together, he came back with all my things. My theatrical trunk, ours, the one we'd used on 100 one-night stands. He'd gone right back to Thompson City. How could he? But he didn't say anything. He only grinned and asked me to believe that everything was all right. And when Joe grinned, I did. I believed everything was all right, somehow. Until Joe came back from another trip, a long time after we'd settled down on the other side of the moon.
Mary. Mary.
Yes, Joe. Here I am.
I'd like you to meet a pal of mine, Dan Ferris. This is Mary Dan, my wife.
Hello.
How do you do?
You heard about Dan, Mary.
Why, yes, I... Yes.
He was with the kid.
Yep. I was with Billy the Kid. That was how I met your husband, Mrs. Gregory. When we were both with Billy the Kid, before he was shot by Sheriff Garrett.
Yes, I... Yes, I know.
Well, I guess you must be hungry, Dan.
I could eat.
Fix up something, will you, Mary?
Yes, yes, of course.
For me, too.
Yes, Joe.
I'll be leaving with Dan pretty soon.
Oh, I see.
Well, come on and sit down, Dan. The boys ought to be here soon.
They'll be along. Don't worry, Joe.
Unless they miss the cutback.
They won't miss it.
Well, I think I'll go out and have a look. If they went straight through, they'll be out on Gently Flat by now. You can see the flat from here.
Well, take a look, then.
Yeah, I guess I will. Be right back, Mary.
All right, Joe.
Only be a minute, Dan.
Don't hurry. Don't hurry, Joe. Can I help you, Mrs. Gregory?
No. No, thank you, Mr. Ferris. There's nothing.
Joe's lucky.
Well, then you met Joe in Lincoln when you were both...
Joe's very lucky.
I'll have all the things ready in just another minute, Mr. Ferris. I'm sorry the meat will be cold, but...
You know, you're a pretty woman. Joe's a fool to leave you alone up here.
Mr. Ferris, please.
Maybe you don't like it alone up here, Mrs. Gregory.
I'm very happy. If you'll just sit down at the table, things are nearly ready.
Maybe you don't like it alone up here, Mrs. Gregory. Maybe you don't like it alone.
Joe!
Your wife and I were just talking it over, Joe.
Well, glad to see you getting acquainted. I didn't see the boys, Dan, but we'll find them when we ride down. Well, come on and sit down and we'll eat.
Sure, Joe, sure.
The minute they were gone, I dragged out my trunk. Until then, I hadn't really believed what stared me in the face. I thought I knew my husband. Husband. To knuckle down to that rotten, insolent Dan Ferris. I began to pull things out of the drawers. I wasn't thinking. I hardly knew what I was doing. I just jerked open the drawers and pulled things out. At the back of the bottom drawer, I found... Headquarters Department. Territory of New Mexico. Special orders. Government Palace, Santa Fe, New Mexico Territory. November 7th, 1881. By order of the Brevet Adjutant General. On the recommendation of Pat Jarrett, Sheriff of Santa Fe... whose ambushing and shooting of William Bonney, known as Billy the Kid, in July last, at Fort Sumner, he instrumentally assisted, and with the view of rounding up and eliminating other outlaws, Joseph R. Clemens of Brooklyn, New York, known as Joseph Gregory, is herewith deputized special United States government agent with orders to...
I thought I'd come back, Mrs. Gregory. Thought you'd be wanting to see me.
Where's Joe?
The other boys missed the place. Joe and I were looking for them, but we got separated accidentally. As I was saying, Mrs. Gregory, you're a pretty woman.
Joe won't stand for this, Mr. Ferris.
You think not? I'm not sure of that. Come here, Mrs. Gregory.
No. No, don't.
Say, what you got there behind your back?
Nothing, nothing. It's nothing.
Let me see. What are you holding behind your back?
I tell you, it's nothing.
Let me see, then.
No, no, don't. Leave me alone.
Let me see what's in your
hand. Oh, no. Oh, my arm.
Thank you, Mrs. Gregory. On recommendation, Pat Garrett, rounding up an... Mrs. Clemens, that's your real name?
Yes.
Raise your hands and turn around and face the wall.
What are you going to do?
That should be obvious. This is a nice rifle. I'll be needing it when I start back down the trail. To... equalize things with sharpshooter Joe Gregory. Oh, Clemens, I'm sorry.
Mr. Ferris, you just can't...
Keep turned to the wall, Mrs. Clemens. I'm a good shot, too. You won't feel anything.
Mary, what...
Joe, look out! Look out!
Oh, why, you...
The Adjutant General will see you now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Here she is, Adjutant.
Thank you. That'll be all for now.
Yes, sir.
So you're Mrs. Joe Clemens.
Yes, Adjutant.
Let me say I'm sorry about Joe. He was a friend of mine. Please sit down.
Thank you.
You'll have to watch that. You'll have to watch that. You'll have to watch that.
The cough. Oh, it'll be all right. I got it coming through the mountains. Mm,
a woman alone and at this time of year. But it was a miracle you got away at all with Dan Ferris's men after you.
I suppose it was.
Mrs. Clemens, I'm sorry about how this has to be done. But you do understand.
I think I do.
You see, some of our own sheriffs and deputies have been helping the cattle rustlers and thieves and murderers. We thought Sheriff Banning of Thompson City was one of the men we were after. Well, we found out he wasn't, thanks to your husband. But we'll keep on looking. And while we do, Mrs. Clemens, there'll have to be men like Joe.
I understand.
Men who'll risk everything and then get an outlaw's grave as a reward.
Yes.
You brought Joe's special orders.
Yes, Adjutant.
May I have it, please? Thank you. Since you kept this from Dan Ferris and his men, your husband's real identity remains a secret. It must be kept so. For the protection of other men going on in his place, this document will be destroyed. You understand that?
Yes, I do.
Joe Gregory and Dan Ferris, outlaws, killed each other in a gunfight in the cabin in the foothills of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Mary Clemens, also an outlaw, and formerly a carnival sharpshooter, disappeared at the time. She was never found. I'm sorry it has to be that way, Mrs. Clemens.
No, I understand. I understand. I understand. October 7th. 1885, Cleveland, Ohio. My cough, having failed to respond to treatment and having been diagnosed as consumption, I write this last will and testament. I call it the story of my death. But really, it's just the opposite. Whoever finds this story in later times, when it can be told, may understand my final bequest. To my heirs, executors, administrators, and assigns, I will and bequeath that which I have had and loved, the best thing that I have ever known, the other side of the moon.
The curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Other Side of the Moon, starring Miss Anne Dvorak, who returns in just a moment. And our star, back for a very well-deserved curtain call, Miss Anne Dvorak.
Thank you, Les. I enjoyed the role. Say, would you like me to show you that cigarette shooting trick again?
With me holding the cigarette in my mouth, I suppose.
It was a general idea.
Hmm. Are you that anxious to get rid of me?
Well, I hardly ever, miss. No, Les, I want you to stick around.
For that small favor, I thank you very much. Seriously, Anne, it's been a very real pleasure having you with us on our radio theater again.
It's been wonderful being back again, Les.
And thank you, Anne Dvorak. Next week, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, we'll present a sequel to this week's play, and as a star, we'll have young Bobby Driscoll, winner of an Academy Award for the finest performance by a juvenile. Be with us each and every week and hear outstanding stars in stories especially selected for them. In the cast, you heard our star, Miss Anne Dvorak, as Mary Clemens, Bob Holton as Joe, Jim Hayward as Dan, Malcolm McCoy as Sheriff Banning, and Theodore Von Elk as the adjutant. Music was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. The Other Side of the Moon was written by William Fifield, edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is also your announcer.